If you're in Polk County and you're naked in the back seat with a Polk County Sheriff's Officer, you're telling me you wouldn't want to get out and go shoot the gun in the air? Like,
no. That wouldn't be my first thought, but it sounds fun.
Can I play with your siren?
But he was, eat that.
Out Loud Orlando, the homo happy hour.
It's good!
Und gut for you.
That's the one thing I forgot to do. Dang it.
It's like that episode of your favorite 90s sitcom towards the end of every season where it would just be a flashback episode, and that's exactly what we're going to recreate in real time.
Yeah. No, I'm not going to redo all the opening stuff. I'll just probably like steal the audio from the Facebook Live. But if you're just listening to the podcast after I did all the standard intro stuff, the 400th episode is coming up, and I got thinking about how, you know, we need to do something for it, that I want to have past members of the show, you know, over the last 7 years, people that have been a part of the show, mm-hmm. So I tagged everyone. And lo and behold, the one person that I forgot to tag, I'll be honest, I thought we were beefing. The one person I didn't tag ended up being here at the studio visiting back from California. It is none other than he was kind of the quiet, he was quiet, but he was efficient. He always got the job done, even though he didn't talk as much as other people. But uh-huh. Markers the intern is back. How you doing,
well,
Markers?
Markers the intern.
Markers the intern. A lot of people go, who is Markers? Why is Markers called that? What does Markers mean? Markers, how did you get your name?
I like to use artistic crafting materials for certain jobs.
Really?
Oh,
really?
Right. That's interesting. Yeah.
I believe the correct story was when you first started experimenting with your BH, a Sharpie marker was, you know, since you didn't have a fellow friend nearby, a Sharpie marker was the replacement.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's gross. That's true. I don't want to hear these things.
You improvise.
That's creative.
He comes up with really, okay, one of the worst bits ever was when he was trying to tell a story.
Best bits.
About how somebody was in the kitchen using his cooking utensils, and what do you do when you come home and you think your boyfriend's been in the kitchen cooking and you find, you know, cake batter on the cooking utensil? And it was all some big euphemism for like toys, but I didn't get it until like the very, very end. And so that was, so someone's in the kitchens with Markers. So anyway, Markers is here. How you doing, man?
I'm good.
How's California?
I'm good. It's amazing. I hate returning here.
Yeah, other people in the show really quick. Alex, Little Prince.
Hi.
And then Lady Barry Matthews.
Of course.
She used to come here on a bus.
No, I don't.
Yeah. Anyway, so Markers brought me back some comic books. Have you stayed in touch with the show, or have you,
no,
I mean,
really?
You've been busy working out there, working for, can we say who you work for, or no?
No,
okay.
No. I've been having a lot of fun in California. Where's Adrian?
He works for Banana.
Yeah, with a banana. Where's Adrian?
She came on a couple of weeks ago to talk about the One Pulse tour, going around performing at different clubs. But you know, I said it from the get go. You know, we weren't gonna keep Adrian on the show too long. She's doing big things, but she's always welcome to come
good.
In. Mm-hmm. We want everyone to come in October.
He doesn't say that about me, so I'm gonna be here for a while.
No, you're always welcome to come in.
Right. We're always desperate for people to be on the show.
Basically, there's
I'm not permanent anymore, even though it's been a year now.
You are permanent on the show. You're a permanent member.
Where's
of the
my
show?
1 year anniversary gift?
I don't remember when you came on. You've been on like 2 or 3 months, right?
A year.
That's how long you've been on the show?
Yes.
I thought it was like 2 or 3 months.
You get a gold star.
That's so funny.
You know those ridiculous stars that they get, like, if you've been working at, like, Walmart for so many years? Like,
piece of flair.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
But, no, everything's good in Cali. I moved out and relocated very suddenly.
I know. It was coming very quick.
Yeah, there actually is a little bit of beef with that. Not really. So I was supposed to take the internship here last time I was here. And my university, don't want to like spit out names.
Yeah.
they chose to listen to the show. And
okay, let me set this up. Some people have actually tried in the past to be interns on the radio show. Uh-huh. You know, we mainly do it as a joke to get new people on the show to do the things I don't want to do, like get me water, answer the phone, make fun of you, things like that.
Yeah.
And Markers actually, I guess, was trying to get university credit from a legitimate institution of accredited learning. And I didn't hear this story.
No. This is the reason why I didn't come back.
Okay.
It's not that bad. In reminiscence. So the one episode they chose to listen to, I want to say it was like 305 or 306.
Okay, you know exactly what number it is.
No. I wish I did. It's early 300s.
But it was full of the raunch.
Oh, no, because I didn't come in that day because I had to work. And you actually mentioned that I was trying to get the internship here. And you and both Adrian said, oh, well, that's a dummy move. Almost directly to the school. That's the one episode they chose to listen to.
I feel like that's better than the episode where I declared I was trans Latino or cooking in the kitchen with markers.
They
would have
gotten the minority vote in, though.
The bathhouse of horrors.
The bathhouse of horrors.
I mean, there's any number of other things we could have said. I don't feel so badly now.
True.
My goodness.
No, if you can't make fun of yourself, how are you going to make fun of anyone
else? I'm just saying, like, if you're literally throwing the university saying that they're stupid for considering this, and that's the one episode they listened to.
So you didn't get the university credit, and that kept you from actually graduating and getting your degree?
No. Luckily...
Are you here to kill me? Are you here to exact your revenge right now? Is the delay on? Because he's going to start dropping the F-bomb.
I wish it was that exciting. No, I actually ended up getting something, like, within the next day or so. And then it fell into my lap, and it helped move me out to California
It was destiny.
So it was just like,
if you thought that was going to be a problem, you should have come to me and gone, hey, by the way, the university might be tuning in.
True.
Watch what you say. True. You know, don't throw it. I had no notice.
No,
you would have called it out anyway.
I would not have. I don't talk about, I don't talk about lots of things if you let me know beforehand not to talk about them.
I'll give that. Justice is a lot of
But that's the thing. If you don't give that express notice, that's it.
No, if I'm not on notice, then I'm not responsible.
What goes, some euphemism for it.
What goes in and comes out of my mouth is my own responsibility, and I do who I please, and I please who I do. Okay. I'm not worried about that. But you have to let me know. Like, and I respect
private Will out your dirty secrets if not expressly noticed.
You don't have to tell me the details if you don't want to tell me the details, but if you could say, hey, don't talk about what happened last week, or hey, don't talk about my mom dying, or hey, don't talk about me being in an open relationship, or things like that. All three of those things are actually things that have happened on the show, so if you are a long-term listener, you can try and figure out who each of those secrets belong to.
And you'll win a Walmart flair, too.
But yeah, no beef. I actually didn't even know myself. I didn't know what the evaluation process was like, so...
Well, we're very glad to see you. And you brought a friend with you, too. Is she sitting over there?
Hey,
like the designated female friend?
Yeah.
All right. Well, cool. Hello, designated female friend. People checking on the Facebook live chat. They're glad to see you back, Markers. And then, so what should we do for the 400th episode? I don't want to do an episode on the air. I kind of want to do numerically, I think, in maybe the third weekend in October. I'm thinking that weekend we could do some kind of uncensored show. We've done
that when it's going to be the third weekend of October. Like, do you know precisely when it's going to? Because the thing is that we could also, like, you know,
this is my calendar. This is how I keep organized in 2016. I have to see the entire thing written out. Okay, so if we did next week was, I love that we're planning on the air. This is like let's make our schedule on the air.
There's no such thing as morning meetings over here.
This is how you organize your life with the.
Okay, the 400th episode would be on October 18th. I want to do it the weekend before. So that
weekend, you know what we could do?
We could get drunk and get a room at Pee House. We could go to the bathhouse. John Capo, superfan, suggested going to the nude beach. I don't really want to take my equipment out to the nude beach. So I don't know. I'm just trying to think of something that would be fun that would be different, you know, because I feel
Can
like...
Can I just say that day, the 18th, I have surgery that day. And
you
I'll
have
be,
surgery
I'm,
that day?
So it'll be live from Lady Barry's surgery.
What surgery are you going to have?
I'm having knee surgery, and I won't be able to walk for a week. And
oh, she's getting her knees done.
And I won't be able to drive.
You're going
to
be calling in and doing your bit on pain medication.
Yes.
That's a Lady Barry on drugs.
Vicodin.
How about we all just like
it's a zany, zany Lady Barry.
It's a zany, zany Lady
Barry. Yeah. Sharing
is caring. So I don't know. Other ideas? 400th episode.
Yeah, those were all good ideas. Also, October 15th is Creative City Project.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I'm at that point where I want to do something, but I realize that if you try to plan a bit too much, it kind of takes away from the organic flow of the stuff. Right. I guess I feel like if I can put together something and put some money into a big party for the people in the show or, you know, or and we did a drunk show before at the Parliament House. I think I did Poppers that show on the air. I'm never doing that again. Poppers are reserved for boom, snap, clapping it in the bedroom. Poppers are not reserved for on the air.
But Pride is next weekend. Why don't you just do something then?
Because every year I say we should do something for Pride, and then I don't think about it until a week before. So this is the third year in a row I'll say we should have gotten afloat and just set up a table with microphones and, like, done the radio show and recorded the podcast going through the parade, talking about all the people we we see and advertise in the show.
That'd be cool.
I don't think I can set that up, though, in, like, what, less than a week?
Can you walk in the parade?
I'm not going to walk and carry my laptop and the microphone. Don't you know who I think I am?
I thought they didn't like you at the parade commission.
Pride and I like each other now. We didn't back up until...
The politics kids
2011.
You can't beat the gay politics.
No, I went to a Pride
doesn't like alternative media.
I went to a... the gay newspaper doesn't. We're going to see how long that lasts. I use the watermark to wrap fish in paper. Anyway, the Pride people... I was singled out at a Pride kickoff event where someone goes, oh, are you that radio guy, Justice? I go, yeah, hi, nice to meet you. I'm all like, you know my name. And he's like, oh, you're not welcome here. We had a meeting about you. And I was
you're
like,
a basket of deplorables.
We had a meeting about you.
They had a meeting about him. He didn't care that it was a negative meeting. He's like, about me.
we need to have the Justice meeting.
Can that be the episode? Another meeting you sit in
Well, no, I don't want to make it. It ended up being all fine because years later, Dr. David Baker Hargrove, who I think at the time then was one of the head guys at Orlando coming out with Pride, he came back on the show and we kind of squashed it and said, you know what? I'm aware of the person you're talking to. I don't think that he was authorized to say that, nor what he said was true. So we kind of kissed and made up, and I was like,
you're not as awful as people make you
seem. Why do you have to have these kind of conversations with everybody?
No,
you
I'm just saying,
make
like,
up with everybody you meet at some point in your life.
Because, well, there's
you thought
there's
you
pre
with him.
There's pre-cancer. I just assume that somebody has a problem with me, therefore I go into it now being like apologetic and humble and nice so I can be pleasantly surprised when I find out you don't hate my guts.
You're the most humble person I've ever met.
I'm like 1,000 times more humble
Jesus
than other people.
Before the show started.
No, I did not.
Yes, you did.
I did not.
Did he or did he not call himself Jesus? In the bedroom.
That's
probably. Yeah. That sounds like lately.
Well, I mean...
And that is not stigmata.
No.
It totally is stigmata.
You know, this goes into the, let's do the three things that I learned this week. One starts with, before we talk about the great election debate that happened last night, let's do the three things
fantastic.
I learned this week. Three things that Justice learned this week. The three things he learned this week. Not one or two or four or five. It's the three things he learned this week. Chicka chicka chicka. Study says having lots and lots of sex can bring you closer to God.
Oh, so that's where this is arising from.
Reach out and touch faith.
Can having sex bring you closer to God? According to a new study, the answer is hallelujah, yes. Researchers from Duke University in North Carolina just carried out an experiment where they boosted levels of oxytocin in middle-aged men. It's a naturally occurring hormone that is released in the brain during sex and believed to play a prominent role when it comes to empathy, trust, social bonding, and altruism. They found that men, including atheists, who received the increased levels of the hormone reported higher levels of spirituality compared to those who did not receive the boost. Participants who received the boost responded more positively to statements like, quote, all life is interconnected, and quote, there's a higher plane of consciousness or spirituality that binds people. And they reported having more positive emotions, including awe, gratitude, hope, inspiration, interest, love, and serenity. So basically,
the too long didn't read version is that, like, now having sex is equivalent to taking shrooms.
Or going to church.
Oxytocin appears to be part of the way our body supports spiritual beliefs. Well, you know, I think it's valid information to share, you know? I mean, what do you guys think?
Take me to church. I get it.
I think now we have an argument against religion. Now we can just say it's just a chemical reaction in your brain.
Basically, it's just God having. You know, I don't think I want to go through this line of questioning. I was about to say.
God is in everyone's bedroom.
Organized religion is basically an orgy of goodness.
Exactly.
Don't worry. God saw that nasty thing you did in bed.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you think about it, every hookup is a threesome because God's watching.
He is watching.
He's like the asexual Andy Warhol.
It's 420. You know what that means. Time to take your Truvada. Find out about PrEP, pre-exposure prophylaxis. Talk to your doctor about it. Avoid getting HIV. And, protect yourself and others.
Yeah.
Get closer to God.
Without the HIV.
Oh, got him.
So last night, Alex came over to have some. You were invited, too. I don't know if you said you were busy last night, right?
You didn't text me last
night. He forwarded the memo.
Thank you.
So Alex came over. We had a election viewing party.
A pizza party.
With pizza and beer and wine and cake. and other treats. And then my roommate was there, and so we watched the debate last night.
Oh, gosh. What a circus.
It was.
Everyone watched it. It's worth talking about because it just happened last night and everyone was watching it. I don't know anyone that wasn't watching
it. It was like the equivalent of watching like president of the high school debate team go against presidential candidate Hillary Clinton. So,
I thought it was amazing.
Yeah.
It was fantastic.
I loved it. I had a good time watching it.
I wish we could do this every day. I wish they could, even after the president's elected, we should just have them debate people.
Is it bad that I was really a little bit upset that when I was watching the TV, Hillary was on the right instead of the left? Because I'm like, Hillary, she's on the left. And in my mind, I envisioned the debate. I envisioned Hillary being on the left and Donald Trump being on the right. So when I got there, it was like someone had flip-flop reversed the image I had in my mind. Uh-huh. So my expectations were immediately shattered.
So it wasn't our favorite aesthetically, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, why was that your...
Who cares?
Because we're gay and we like our colors in coordination and things on the right side.
Because I'm very OCD, and when I think something into existence and it doesn't actually happen, I get a little bit upset that what I thought was going to happen didn't happen. It's just like a foresight thing.
Fair.
Like, who's planning the darn thing?
Can we talk about how actually all the commercials added up the hype behind it, what we actually got as a show? Like,
yeah, there was a
crazy circus it was.
There was a countdown clock. They had a countdown clock on CNN, like counting down like 24 hours in advance, like in 23 hours and 42 seconds.
It literally, the music and the countdown and everything reminded me of like WWE.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I thought like they were going to actually have a boxing match.
Isn't that a sad state of affairs that we're viewing it as an entertainment spectacle with the expectations we had for it based on the candidates that we have?
The October 9th debate is going to be filmed on Comedy Central. It's the Comedy Central roast of the presidential candidates.
I got the roast of Donald Trump. I got Ricky the Tech Guy. Well, I mean, allegedly Ricky the Tech Guy got me a copy of the roast of Donald. I don't know what's legal
FBI,
to say or not say anymore. I don't know where people get things, and so I just say allegedly because you can't pin nothing on me.
Is Ricky his actual name?
No, it's actually Rickford.
don't.
So when we're watching the debate. You met the roommate.
Yeah.
He says he doesn't know anything about politics.
But then he goes on this, like, he's like, I know a lot more about politics than I think I do. I just like to play myself down. But
what if both of the candidates had uttered the N-word during the debate?
I would have loved that. Oh my goodness. Gary Johnson.
That hippie would have won.
I could see Hillary trying to use that as, like, a term of endearment, like, you know.
I don't think, no.
She's not Paula Dean.
Me and my people, you know.
Hillary Clinton, the politician.
That's what my roommate said. I said, what do you know about politics? He says, the only thing I know about politics is that you don't use the N-word.
Chill. I'm Chillery Clinton. Hanging out with the homies.
Yeah.
I'm so done with that. Yeah. But it was really good.
All the rappers endorse Hillary.
Yeah.
Now, do you think, I didn't keep hearing, everyone keeps talking about that Donald Trump had the post-nasal, that he had a post-nasal drip snip, and everyone was saying, hey, that's like a Coke. And so I'm not familiar with it. I'm talking about what everyone on social media is commenting
the
on,
first,
that he sounded like he had taken a few bumps of yayo before he went on the air. And
he's from Wall Street. You know, we all saw Wolf of Wall Street.
Alex, is that what it sounds like?
Why would you? What? You're in college. You experiment.
I mean, yeah, I guess, but I mean,
Today's the day.
I've had allergies all week. There's pollen in the air. It's allergy season.
It's allergy season.
So
okay. I thought he was trying to make like a subtle jab. Like, look, I can sniff too, and people don't think I'm gonna die. You have pneumonia, Hillary Clinton.
And she's still there.
She still zinged him on the stamina.
Yeah.
Oh, you need some ice for that burn. Someone send Trump to the burn unit.
Yeah, right before the debate, we watched, Alex showed me the new trailer, the theatrical trailer release for the movie King Cobra.
Right.
Are you familiar with that movie?
No.
It has James Franco in it, and it's a movie going over gay porn star Brent Corrigan's rise to fame, and a suspected murder, and like, gay porno crazy, and like, was he 17 when these videos were filmed, and so, basically, as you're watching the movie, you're trying to decide if you're watching like a really great movie or like a really erotic movie. And so I think we're gonna have to have a viewing party like with poppers, because I think we should just pop the movie in and pause the movie and just like kind of like reenact the scene, because it looks Oscar winner. I'm gonna go ahead and say King Cobra Oscar winner.
As
best
Mark
performance the guy playing Brent Corrigan, James Franco.
Is he the dude from Sean Cody?
Yeah. Yes. He's like the orig. He's like the original face of Sean Cody. Mm-hmm. But he started off on like another. Basically, the premise of the movie is that Brent Corrigan was rising to fame. Some producer had him from I don't know which production company, but basically like had his rights like over him. But then there were the Viper Boys, and they wanted him for film because Brent Corrigan was like the Macaulay Culkin of twink porn. So everybody wanted him, and
that's actually a really, really good.
The original producer was like, nope, you ain't gonna have him. So one of the guys from the Viper Boys ends up like murdering the other producer, and it was a big thing. The guy's in jail for it now. Like,
and this is all around like scenes of what Brent Corrigan does to get famous, and that's so no funny. Not and lacking in
covers
the, you know,
like his mom finding out about him doing porn and like his family. And
wait, the movie's out, or is it just the trailer that you saw?
It's out, and I got something else out.
Oh my goodness, this is just ridiculous.
So you did you meet my new roommate?
I have, yes.
You've met my new roommate. Alex has met we're gonna call him Baby T on the air. So you met Baby T.
Yeah.
What do you think of Baby T?
I love him.
I like him. He's nice.
I told Baby T we're gonna talk about him on the air today.
I think he's awful.
You never met him. Shut up.
No, for sure. Like, he's definitely someone like, you know, when we have like a girls' night out, like it's a good addition to have.
Yeah. I like living with young, wild, and crazy roommate, but now I don't know if it's good that I'm trying to keep up with him when he's being young, wild, and crazy, or if it's making me feel extra old when I'm like, listen, we've already been at this for a few hours, I need to go to bed, and he's like, nope, go until 5 a.m.
You need to live with the lady that lives next door to you.
No.
Because then they'll calm you down a little bit. If you live with an old granny with some kind of illness, it'll calm you down. You won't have as many twinks over.
My landlords have been spying around my apartment.
Uh-oh.
They're coming up.
Stop it.
They're coming up with excuses to like come in. I don't know if they're just trying to like look over the place to make renovations before they sell it, or if they're just like suspecting shenanigans or
what. His apartment is the original sketchy boys apartment.
What are you talking about? I live in a respectable townhouse. Downtown Orlando, Lake Eola Heights.
Downtown Orlando.
You like his address, folks? I can give it to you right now.
No, we're good.
Oh,
did you see the, did you sign Trishanda? You signed Trishanda.
Of course
did you sign Trishanda?
You were there, though.
I have signed it. I write on the chest.
When the roommate moved in, the only thing he really brought to the apartment was this beautiful half female mannequin with posable arms and no head, and we've turned her into the guest book. Yeah. So anytime somebody comes over, they got to grab a Sharpie and sign Trishanda.
Yeah.
Sharpie.
I think you should call your house the Justice League.
The Justice League?
Yes.
Cave of Justice? Hall of Justice?
Hall of Justice.
But I don't want to, like, make it a thing and then have to check in on Facebook and literally give away my location. Like, that's just not, that's not on my list of things to do.
Tag the lady's house next to you.
There you go. If she's old, she won't be able to get to the door anyway.
Oh, that would be amazing.
Twinks lined up for miles for the next door lady.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Lady Barry Matthews.
Are you ready to get deep?
And now it's time for Learning with Lady Barry.
Hashtag learnt.
Why are you gonna be so ghetto about me? Like, I think I'm less ghetto than you are.
Probably.
And every time you refer to me, it's like learnt. I'm like Madea of this show. Like Tyler Perry just walked in the door and you lose your mind.
You did used to be a drag queen.
He knows about Tyler Perry movies. You remember how the theater looked whenever Tyler Perry movies came out? And
y'all worked together.
Yeah.
You came in, I was like, you guys were never on the show at the same time. We're like, we worked together.
We worked together. We didn't like each other. No, I'm just kidding. But the company we worked for, do you know what they called movies like Tyler Perry movies?
They called them
urban movies.
Urban.
Excuse me.
There's an urban category of Hallmark, too.
Yeah, and it was like Hallmark. Urban movies. And when urban movies would come out, and I kid you not, we would order more grape-flavored vodka and watermelon-flavored vodka and things like that. I thought it was the most racist thing that I've ever done.
You
with.
Sold as all a member,
but I sold it, and we sold out of everything.
As an African American, did you ever express these sentiments to people?
I did. I told my GM.
You like how I made
like,
sure I did that?
I told my GM, I was like, this is kind of stereotypical. We had to order extra chicken tenders.
But if you don't give the people what they want, then you're being prejudiced.
Exactly. So we would order extra chicken tenders and extra Hawaiian punch. And I was like, why are we doing that? And the person who was training me is like, oh, an Urban movie's coming out next week. And I was like, me. And then a Tyler Perry movie came out the week after. And I was like, oh, okay. Let me just go ahead and set up a watermelon stand and put my white gloves on and paint my face black and do a jig in front of the, the worst.
I really feel the need to keep mentioning that Lady Barry Matthews is African-American and just commenting about something that actually happened, so no one takes this the wrong way.
This is actually happening. So, I am half black.
Don't you worry about it, sweetie pie. I got it's you. Happening.
Alex.
What?
So, this actually leads into what I wanted to ask. I'm going to ask you a question this
fruit
week.
Fruit punch!
Exactly. Have you ever in your life, for any reason, felt somebody held a prejudice against you?
Only for being amazing and humble.
And, I mean, not to get on a serious note, but, like, the thing is like, with all the...
Justice is a white Anglo-Saxon male. Like, what?
I know. But he's also a gay male.
I'm tan. No one thinks I'm white. Everyone thinks I'm Hispanic.
No, they think you're
white. I always thought you were, like, half Filipino when I first met you.
When I'm in drag, I look like fat Margaret Cho. Fat Asian Margaret Cho.
Just Margaret Cho. You don't have to put the fat and Asian in there. We all know it. I mean, I love her to death. She ain't skinny. But on a serious note, like...
You look like
with
a fat
the...
Lucy Liu.
Oh, jeez. You're ridiculous. But with all the, like, the shootings going on in America right now, right. Like, it's been going through my head, and I have cousins and uncles and family back home in Houston that they may have to deal with these things. I've never had to deal with police prejudice, but I'm just wondering, like, has anybody here ever felt prejudice against them?
No, not really. Not for, like, being Hispanic, because Orlando is, like, predominantly Puerto Rican. And then I went to college in Miami, which is even more Latino people. So I've never felt sort of out of place anywhere. And, like, I don't know. Furthermore, not really as a gay guy. And it's also not by the police either, because I don't drive down the street. I don't walk down the street. And I don't think the police is looking at me like... Ooh, that looks like one of them. Mm-hmm. So
I feel like that's just not a thing in Florida. I feel like it's a thing.
Not only that,
else.
But like the Orlando police specifically, I think are really better when it comes to that kind of thing. It's not like Miami. Like Miami cops are like blatantly D-bags. But in Orlando, I feel like our relationship with the police, especially now after Pulse being a gay man, like it's a very mellow connection. Like I don't think like I've ever felt.
I get pulled over, I'd say maybe once every 3 to 4 months from just doing something stupid.
Oh my goodness.
But I always end up getting I always end up getting like a warning or something like that, because I do the same thing every single time. If I ever get pulled over, I immediately sit there, I turn everything off, I sit there quietly, I roll the window down, I put my hands on the steering wheel, the guy comes up, he's like, no, 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 no. I was like, yes sir, real nice to meet you. And then I say, I'm gonna get you my license and registration. It's in the glove compartment. And then I do that. And then I hand it to him with my I hold him my license and I do that. And then I sit there, they go back to the car, they look up stuff, they come back, I don't get a ticket or get in trouble, they hand me my stuff and tell me not to do something, and then I drive away. Like that's happened like maybe 8 or 9 times, and it just happens that way every time.
You know what's funny? I've had some bad experiences with cops, but almost 99% of them. So maybe one out of the 15 times I've been pulled over my whole life. Yeah, I had a bad rap back when I was younger. But I've never had a negative experience with a cop. And it's so weird, like, to see this and have such a personal connection with what's happening around the country, mm-hmm. but never have actually been discriminated against myself. So I just want, like, I just hope other people can actually feel the same way that I feel.
I'm really worried that when I go to visit places like Savannah, Georgia, where I was this weekend, or when I go up to Huntsville, Alabama, I do worry that people might think that I am homosexual because of my flamboyant nature and how over-the-top gay I am. And but that usually never ends up being anything. But I find myself getting a little concerned if I'm in the Deep South with somebody that is, you know, a little bit more twinky. But then nothing ever happens, and I realize it was a stupid thought to have. And if anything did happen, I'm confident enough in my ability to defuse the situation, smack down, or, you know, make
it's
an issue
to
for to bring attention to myself.
I think that a lot of, especially us, because we come from Orlando, and I think, like, Orlando has been a very, in relation to other cities that have been experienced issues with you know, police brutality, Orlando in relation, we're actually pretty good about things like that, if you ask me. But again, we do have to realize there's this whole underbelly of society and all of these cities where this is like, I think it's truly a problem. Like, yeah. It is something to fear and to risk when you are in certain places with certain people of a certain origin, of a certain background. Mm-hmm. And we're blessed to sort of live where we live, where as of right now, it's very comfortable. I feel very comfortable being around a police officer. I never feel like I'm walking around doing something that I shouldn't. And I think the police here are really good at sort of eyeing out, you know, what's good, what's bad, and not like, you know, stop and frisk, like what was a topic of conversation at the debates last night, you know, stopping and frisking, you know, cops and their sort of prejudice towards minorities and stopping to see what they're all about. I think we need to...
That was a really good part of the debate last night.
Yeah.
You really got to see Hillary and Trump's true colors when it came to that actual topic.
Mm-hmm.
Because Trump dug himself poignant, into a sure. really, really deep hole in that one. He was like every other white person that's somewhat prejudiced, but they're not really racist. Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh yeah, I'm good with the black people now. Like,
my homies!
You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, okay.
Have you ever had an experience with a law enforcement officer in uniform in their car before? Have you ever had a sexual experience?
I was going to ask, is that a sex question?
With a police officer?
Yeah.
No.
I had a chance to really screw over this Polk County sheriff this one time because I was almost 18, but not quite. And we met back out near like the phosphate mines of Polk County near like some old dirt
the
road.
Phosphate mines, we're near Polk the phosphate County. Mines.
And so we're in the back seat of this. We're in the back seat of the cop car. He's like uniformed. And you know, we're doing this, doing that, and hanging out, having a good time. But he just has his belt and his gun just like sitting on the seat, like not locked up. Like literally it's just within, it's closer to me than this water bottle. And I couldn't help but have the thought of, you know what, if I wanted to, I could just grab that and run around and like, you know, really have
naked,
a fun.
Naked, like, woo!
Oh, I kind of was like, you know what? I want to go. Like, who doesn't?
That's so funny.
If you're in Polk That's County so and you're naked funny. In the back seat with a Polk County sheriff's officer, you're telling me you wouldn't want to get out and go and shoot the gun in the air? Like,
no. That wouldn't be my first thought, but it sounds fun.
Can I play with your siren?
But he was like married with kids, and I was like, you know what? I really don't want to bring that kind of investigation down on this poor guy, because you know, and I think he was over 24.
Think it would have ruined your life as well.
I would have ruined his first. No, I was underage.
Yeah, he would have ruined both.
I was underage.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He could get out of that. Like he completely would have been not culpable for that entire event.
But if that news got back home, like if I had Thank come you. Out 10 years earlier when that happened to Mommy and Daddy Justice, like that
and
would
then
not
that
have been.
Way, you're like, I was hanging out in a phosphate mine cruising.
Hanging out in a phosphate mine. And,
you know.
Is that like, the type of cruising that actually goes on up there?
I guess so.
Like,
you
mines
walk through the
caves
woods.
And woods. And
Yo, meet me behind the Polk County is the number one citrus producing county in the state. Meet me back behind the groves.
There, grizzly bear.
Oh, God.
He was a cute guy. Oh, no, DJ the Grinder.
The Grinder.
Oh, no, DJ the Grinder. Have you ever heard that story before?
I have not.
How can we tell this story? I don't know if we can. I don't like the way you tell it. I don't think it's arable.
Yeah, maybe... In the next uncensored episode of Gay Radio Show, find out what happened to the Grinder.
Basically, okay, a long time ago, Alex was at the house, and I was dating an ex-boyfriend, and we were at that stage of the relationship where, like, all we did was, like, eat, sleep, and whatever. And so I learned, like, a new move, and I was like, Alex, this is how this new move goes. So, like, fully clothed, I kind of just, like, whipped around and, like, pinned his legs back. But when I went to go do that, like, I did, like, a full sweep of the leg. And it was too close to my coffee table. So it basically just like someone took an arm, just went.
and he just, knocked like, down knocked everything off his table.
And so, oh no, DJ, the Grinder! You got water everywhere!
Yeah.
I was going through chemotherapy, right? So.
Oh my goodness.
Water and butt all over the place.
You didn't even stop during chemo. You just kept going, huh?
What else was I going to do? I had all this free time.
It's not legal here. That's so. It's not. Right.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I know it's not.
I don't know
so
what you're talking
weird.
About.
Weird. What? Okay. I'm just going to stop right there.
I fully support medicinal usage.
I was talking about
usage,
sex, not the other medicinal things that you're doing.
Oh, chemotherapy?
Because sex is 100% legal, depending on what you consider.
I thought sex is not legal here? What has been going on?
Well, you know, like I said, like the study says, I was trying to get closer to God so I could be like, yo, let's get this cancer thing
practice.
Taken under wraps.
There we go.
Alex when he knocked over the Grinder, he was showing me a new way to pray. Oh, it's time for the news. Let's do the, I want to do my favorite one first. Okay, so apparently Arnold Schwarzenegger's parents used to think he was gay. So he was talking about the times that his parents tried to cure his homosexuality that wasn't present. It was from his strange obsession with male bodybuilders, which he would soon later become, and talking about how his dad would run after him with a belt and beat him, and you know,
get down.
Yeah, yeah. And she would, and his mom would ask the doctor to fix him. And the thing is that this thing sort of shaped him when he was the Republican governor of California. He kind of had the idea that marriage was between a man and a woman, but that idea has changed for him in past. He's a lot more tolerant now. And again, he also advises that Republicans do need to evolve their views to risk losing support. You know, gay marriage has been approved all across the board now, so let's embrace it. And if we, you know, if Republicans keep resisting that, they're going to lose, because they're, you know, I do know a lot of nice, you know, reasonable gay Republicans, and that's the thing, though. I don't understand being a part of a party that wouldn't want you to get married. You know what I'm saying? Like, when I go to a party, like, hey, Alex, you're at the party. You know, I hope you get married soon or something. You know what I'm saying?
I was talking about that this weekend in Savannah, because Savannah's nice. A real quick shout out to my friend Mark. She's up at art school there at the Savannah College of Art and Design. And so we're right near historic Savannah. I ended up playing Pokemon for like 6 hours, exploring Savannah with him. It was beautiful. Went to the one little gay club called Club One. And I guess, you know, my joy of visiting friends, and it's not necessarily tied to like Boom Snap Clapping It or like just going out and doing all the gay stuff. Because this one gay club, you know, it was okay. Their drag show was okay. But what I did notice was that in Savannah, there's a lot of bachelorette parties, and like four of them had descended. And like four of them had descended upon this gay club. And it brought up the argument or the conversation about, you know, hey, stay out of our space. You know, because some people really have a big problem with, you know, straight bachelorette parties kind of infringing on the gay club territory. And yeah. The question was, back before marriage was legalized, it was kind of like, hey, I could see that being a little bit of a slight. Like, okay, come here and rub it in the face of the homos that you can get married legally and that we can't by celebrating your marriage. Wow. You know, and I was like, I could see where they were coming from.
I mean, I wish never looked at it like that. No, I never would have looked at it like this.
Both points of view very much so.
Yeah.
I really do.
Well, I mean, I also view it from the perspective of, you know, there's nothing worse than when a dumb straight girl gets drunk and comes to a club and thinks it's all about her and her tees. And it's kind of like, you have no power here, sweetheart. Like, the show's not about you. You
know, Your magic is no good here.
Just like be chill and have fun and do your thing. But, like, the whole world doesn't revolve around you right
As
now.
As a drag queen, it's such great material, though. You can talk so much smack about
it. Yeah. I mean, I just wish...
You can do so many fun things with them.
The thing is that the type of bachelorette party that goes to gay clubs are, like, the tackiest of bachelorette. Oh, yeah. Those are the girls with, like, the penis glasses and, like...
on it.
Yeah, pretty much.
Dong.
They're wearing like the feather boa, like, I'm getting married, with their little customizable cup that has the initials on it.
The cup looks like a dong.
Can we just make up like a universal rule as like the gays that you can only have a straight bachelorette party if you know like at least three or four other gay guys that are there?
You need like, five gays to vouch for you.
Is this conversation making you uncomfortable, cisgendered, heterosexual white girl?
Must arrive with a group of gays.
Are you gonna throw your bachelorette party at a gay club?
Like, let's put the shoe on the other foot. How would the straight club population feel? How would heterosexuals feel if all of a sudden every gay bachelorette party, bachelor party, shows up at their club wearing sashes and little hats, like, ooh, baby, how you doing?
Do you know that part in the movie where people walk into like a room and the record screeches to a stop? That's exactly what would happen if a gay bachelor party went to the beach gym on a Saturday night.
Show up in like drag, wearing a thong, wearing a little outfit, you know, exactly. A little gay outfit.
And this is why equal rights is so important.
Equal rights to go to each other's clubs. I don't want to go to a
What team are you on in Pokemon Go?
I am the red team.
Thank God. Yeah, I was just going to say, if you'd said anything else other than Team Valor, you'd be off the show. No. What level are you?
Nothing impressive. Like 13. I'm so good.
That's cute. I'm level 27. It's time for the news.
Oh, okay. So the other piece of news. So everybody knows that period. Everybody knows that period of time that Lil Wayne was locked up. Hashtag Free Weezy.
Yeah, everybody knows.
One of the very first hashtags that I ever remembered. And, you know, according to Billboard, he actually officiated a gay wedding. Like, it was a mock gay wedding. And
in prison?
Yeah, in prison. He married two dudes who were just loving it in the clink. And Lil Wayne even gave them an amazing wedding gift.
That's my new euphemism for it.
Of cookies and Gatorade.
I now pronounce you Sil Bitch and Sil Bitch.
Well, the flavor Gatorade was a grape. Was it an urban wedding? Was it?
Awful.
And then at the reception, they watch Madea go to jail.
Aww.
But yeah, he said Gatorade is like the ambrosia of prison.
it's the champagne of prison drinks.
Nectar of the gods. But yeah, he said it was a lot of fun.
Wait, so is he like an officiant? Like, is he a clergy member? Is he able to legally wed people? Or
I have no clue.
Or they just were like, yo, Lil Wayne, stand up here and say that this is my property. Like, this is my man.
We got like, married.
Was it a prison relationship, or was it like two gay guys in love?
He also performed at the reception. What?
At the reception?
I would imagine so. If Lil Wayne is officiating my... Yeah, no. But I mean, no, think about it. If Lil Wayne was officiating my wedding, would you not also ask him to perform at some sort of...
I wouldn't ask Lil Wayne to officiate my wedding. I don't care how hard the straights I am. I don't want anyone... No.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Damn.
If Lil Wayne's like, yo, let me officiate your wedding, yo.
I'm going to go ahead and declare this. I'm not going to get married until Lil Wayne officiates my wedding.
Okay.
And until Lil Wayne does it for me...
Lil Wayne, if you're listening...
From prison.
Pro bono, though.
I can guarantee a Lil Wayne's listening.
Is he the one that drinks the scissor?
What?
The scissor?
Oh my god, stop being so white. Right. What else did you learn this week?
Don't be urban, okay?
It doesn't work for you.
Yeah, and so the last piece of news is that I have is a court... In Russia, notoriously homophobic Russia.
Yeah, they don't like gay people. It's vodka and clubs. Only regular flavored vodka. No fruit flavored vodka.
So, the most popular LGBTQ website, bluesystem.ru, it's been blocked throughout the entire country without any kind of warning.
Gay.
It banned the site. There's approximately 100,000 people a day that visit it. And they weren't even able to defend themselves in court. So now people are claiming that the Kremlin, which is the Russian government, are, you know, just they're homophobic. And of course, to do an action like that, I would only imagine so. So, you know, Russia's been increasingly aggressive against their LGBTQ population. Of course, in 2013, they passed the gay propaganda law, which is probably why they blocked the site. You're basically not allowed to promote homosexuality, and you're especially not allowed to distribute material, LGBTQ material, to children.
Is Grindr there? Do they have?
Oh, I don't know.
Even if there Russian is Grindr there, there's a very real fear about how it could out you. You know, you could be if you have your location on, you could
not only that, but you don't know who's gonna catfish you to perform a hate crime, which is actually very.
It's like Dubai,
and then you become a song by Gaudier.
Yeah, exactly. You would never be in Dubai and turn on Grindr, because a lot of the times it has been that you'd be like in Saudi Arabia and Kuwait as well, that you have these individuals that go there, especially. Especially tourists, and they're on Grindr, and they see someone, but that ends up turning into a hate crime of sorts. So yeah, that's the news, guys. Ending on a bitter note, though.
Yeah. Anyway, Markers, it's cool that you're on the show today, because Markers returned some comic books to me that he borrowed like a year and a half ago or something. And there's a cool DC Comics is doing something really cool. I posted it on Facebook. DC Comics is launching a special comic to benefit the victims of Pulse. It's going to be 144 page special called Love Is Love, set to hit stores in December. This comic book is going to benefit the victims from the June 12th attack on Pulse or Orlando's Pulse nightclub. It's titled Love is Love. It'll retail for $9.99 and contain more than 100 stories, each one or two page. So one or two page stories.
So they better feature my girl, Batwoman.
The guy that's kind of organized it. What does it say? Hold on. I had his full
name. No Green Lantern off universe stuff.
I don't think it's meant to be just, it's just to, maybe.
It's just like short stories?
Yeah, I don't think it's just showcasing gay characters or even gay comic book writers,
they only
but
have
more
like three
just
anyway.
The idea of love is love. So, and a guy, I don't see what his first name is. What is it? Andreyko is a openly gay writer for DC who writes for Manhunter, Batwoman, and Wonder Woman 77. And so he helped get people together to pair artists and writers together for benefiting, you know, the book. Mm-hmm. And so he's working with creators like Paul Jenkins, Matt Wagner, Oliver Copiel, Pat, Steven Orlando, and then a bunch of different artists. He, I like That's where he awesome. Says, events shouldn't be compartmentalized like this. They should hurt, and we should want to change for the better. And so this was cool, because we have, I don't think any of you guys were on the show back in the day, but we have a association with one of the writers that writes for DC.
Yeah.
I'm friends with Phil Jimenez, who called into the radio show years ago. He's an openly gay writer for DC Comics. He's like muscle daddy, sexy on a stick. But anyway, he and I became friends, and so anyway, but I think we're going to try and get him to call into the show to tell us a little bit more about,
really awesome.
About that project. So, you know,
did they say how much of the proceeds are going out to the OnePlus Foundation? Because I like that all this like flood of media support is coming through, except like one thing that I found that was like the best and most striking was that Sia music video. Did you guys see that?
Oh, yeah.
About? So good. About it, no, yeah. I loved it. Except where are her proceeds?
I don't see where all the proceeds go for that. I'm sorry.
Okay. Thanks,
but,
DC.
Yeah, and then starting this week, you know, they're starting to release the information talking about, you know, with the One Orlando Fund money that was raised for victims, people that were injured, people who were there at the club that night. The numbers are coming out to be where it's going to be $350,000 if you are a family member or a partner of one of the victims. That's what the estimated payout is going to be. You have until the end of this week to kind of finalize that. But the problem is, they're saying that so far, with that disbursement of money, unfortunately, money brings out the worst in people, over half of those claims are already being disputed by family members or partners arguing over who gets what or who should get what or who the next of kin is, et cetera, et cetera. And then there's a lower tier for, you know, if you were injured or hospitalized, depending on how long you were hospitalized.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, we can't put a price on what these people went through, you know, that lost loved ones, that you know, were physically injured. You know, those that weren't physically injured are definitely still dealing with, you know, I think some emotional scars and issues that, you know, we all were affected, but if you were there that night, you were especially affected. So it gets down into the $35,000 to $25,000 range if you were at the club that night, and were, or you know, maybe not injured, but you were there and were a part of it, or, you know, were one of the hostages.
And they've already said that it's going to be a tax-free gift.
Oh, it is.
They won't have to pay taxes on it.
Good. Is there any word on like what like their partners are getting, if they have any like legal say or anything like that?
I don't think, if they, unless they were married, I don't think they'll have,
because
like, there's no common
just like in any sort of.
That's awful.
But you get that. You get that. But that's there to prevent fraud, though. You know
right.
what I mean?
Because
you can say someone could be passed away, and now I say, oh, that was my boyfriend. That's my boyfriend. Like, because you think you're gonna get some, you know, and dead men tell no tales. Unfortunately,
like, and the actions of few are gonna ruin it for those who actually were like living with them. And
that's why I'm saying.
I mean, but the thing is that what I mean, it is what it is. Because if it was a straight club, it would have been the same exact thing. When tragedies like that happen, you do have to be married. We can all be married now. So,
now, but
I mean, if it was a straight club and it would have been boyfriends and girlfriends, it would have been the same exact story. So I don't think it's anything
I
like...
I guess. I don't know. I just think about... Because you know that there
You've
are
also been
situations.
In a relationship forever, though. Like, you consider yourself married.
Yeah, I guess. Sure. Why not?
Are you still in a relationship?
I am.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
How long are you in town? You want to go to Club O?
We could. Yeah,
okay.
I'm down. I'm in town until the
12th. I'm like way more adventurous than I was when you knew me before.
Okay.
Check
Let's
out these
do
bruises.
Let's do. I'm fine without doing that. I just think of the horrible situations of the couples that have been together, chose not to get married, and then something like this happens.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or maybe they were engaged and they were going to be getting married.
Or maybe
they
just don't want to.
Yeah.
I don't want to get married. Like, that sounds awful.
Okay, but I mean, then don't get married, but also don't like claim into my death either.
It, only if, yeah, like, I agree. It's the same thing with straight couples. If they weren't married, they'd be going through the same thing. Like, if you're not married to somebody and they're in the hospital, you can't visit them because you're not family to them.
Right, exactly.
It's the same thing. So now we have the right to do so. So if you choose not to get married, that's one of the you're not going to get the benefits of the repercussions.
But then again, nobody, because the thing is that nobody walked in like, oh, well, this is going to happen. This tragedy is going to happen because this tragedy has happened so many times before. It really hasn't. This is like basically the first big gay, like, you know, mass shooting. So nobody really was like, I'm sure now people are like, oh, maybe I should get married with my partner in case something like this happens again. But that wasn't the preconceived notion before.
Yeah. And you're not thinking about money when you're in love, and you're not thinking about money.
You're not thinking you're going to die the next day.
Exactly. You're not thinking about things like that. So we can't blame those. We can't blame the people who are angry about it.
Yeah.
Who feel that they're getting, you know, slighted. But like, because I can understand somebody that if you were relying on that other person's income because you're living together, and now you're in a position where you're going to lose your home, lose your car, you know, you can be out on the street because you're relying on that person's income. I understand where they're coming from, but I also understand the other side, the legal ramifications of it. You weren't married.
So these are all serious questions for people in, you know, loving, you know, long-term committed relationships. That brings me to our next, kind of our last thing I learned this week. What about the show Prince Charming? You know, it looks like it's well on its way to establish a loving, meaningful, long-term relationship.
I think I feel exactly like the rest of, you know, regular gay America feels. A lot of people, I read, you know, the comments that people leave on the logo articles, and I see the comments that people leave on the Frightening Prince Charming.
Why, like, do you read that stuff?
I don't know. I like to. I
feel like my opinions don't need to be influenced by anyone else's. I know, but there are a lot of stupid people out there with a lot of
stupid
opinions.
Just for the same
reason
why you would look at, like, you know, I don't know, something racially charged on Facebook and look at the comments just to see the underbelly of society. But even still,
I don't do that either.
I do want to see, like, what other people have to say and whether people feel the same way I feel. Just like if I'm watching The Real Housewives and, you know, one housewife is a bitch to another housewife, I do want to see what they have to say about that housewife. So I do want to hear the opinions that people have, not only of Prince Charming, but of the other contestants too, because some of the contestants are really sweet. There are some of the contestants I would argue are better suited to be Prince Charming than Prince Charming. I don't like Prince Charming.
I don't think he's Sepulveda Jr. Have you seen the show, Markers?
I have not seen
it. He's basically Logo's version of The Bachelor.
He's a very lackluster individual. Like, he's extremely soft-spoken. He's extremely boring. Like,
he's got a nice body, but he looks like a Disney villain stepfather.
He's a perfect gay.
He looks like a Ken doll with, like, just the same amount of soul. Nothing. Like, there is nothing there.
But see, the thing is, like, that's your opinion of that one person. Like, I like a guy that's boring and that's quiet, because I'm the opposite. So some people may like him. I think the problem is that the show is, it's a reality show. It's going to be scripted. And we just learned from Fifi O'Hara and all that drama that reality shows are.
I don't know who that is. Who is this person?
I don't know if I trust Fifi O'Hara. Like,
I have no association with Fifi O'Hara whatsoever.
The reality shows, they're not 100% real. Like, people think that.
No, that's like saying she's telling the 100% truth. Yeah, there is a lot of editing.
We never hung out after I interviewed her and Sharon Needles.
But editing only covers so much, you know what I'm saying? Editing only has the opportunity to add dramatic music and cut out what people say. But that still doesn't change the fact that when you cut into another person and you're seeing them be a nasty human being with a nasty attitude, nasty inflection.
Oh, girl, I wasn't trying to talk about your opinion of Fifi. I was just saying reality show. We can, from what...
But it applies the same to Finding Prince Charming, though, too. There's contestants on that show that want to go... Like, for example, Sam, who just left the last episode of Spoiler Alerts.
I thought he was angry.
But Sam decided to leave on his own accord, which, I mean... And then he goes on to do those little post interviews with Logo, saying that editing sort of created him to be a bully, when at the very first episode, Robbie, which is the more flamboyant contestant of the show, he's like the most effeminate
one. He's a West Hollywood gay
in the beauty industry. So he's a very effeminate male. He's very attractive, but very effeminate. And Robbie goes, "Is that you? Is that really who you are?" Like, it came off as very, you know how sometimes, like, the mask for mask gays can be kind of homophobic in their own right, you know what I'm saying? So he kind of gave off that kind of, like, a vibe, and he goes to say that editing is the one that made him look like that, but you can see by his faces and the inflection of his voice, there was a snarkiness in his attitude. Not only that, but in later episodes, he spits on another contestant, so you eventually see the true colors of this person.
How many episodes is it into?
Three.
Three.
My goodness. Well, they're gay, so there's of course there's plenty of drama in three episodes.
But then,
so the thing with
and
these,
now we're trying
shows,
to figure out which one of them has HIV.
Oh God. The thing with these shows
is that, legit?
That you yeah. have to go into is that they're for entertainment purposes only. They are not real. Like, I never, there's not one show. Maybe
I would
Survivor.
Go on that show looking for
Cops,
true love.
Cops is real.
Cops
it's a,
is
it's
real.
A real reality show. You know what I'm saying? Survivor, it's
no.
kind of real. I mean, like, you know what I'm saying? It's like, it's
Finding Prince
real.
Charming is a classier flavor of love.
Yeah. Exactly. And it's for entertainment. And I'm like, I look at it, I'm like, the people that get together are never going to stay together. Has any of the Bachelor or Bachelorettes actually worked out with the person they were with?
Some of them
I
have.
I think maybe,
I watched the
maybe one of the Bachelorettes has.
Yeah.
Yeah, as our outro music starts to play. Hey, Marcus, it was a pleasant surprise having you on today. Thank you for coming in, man.
Thank you for having me.
And thank you for kind of kicking off our whole, you know, we're going to be parading a bunch of people back into your lives, whether they call in or come in for the 400th episode of the radio show. And I look forward to that in the month of October. Going around the circle, Alex, man, what do you got going on this week?
Nothing much. This weekend, pretty free. I'll be in Orlando. So, I don't know, just seeing where the wind takes me.
Lady Barry, how that bus be?
The bus is fantastic. As I drive past it in my brand new car.
Very nice. Anything fun this week?
Not much. I'm still sick.
We want you to feel better. Good luck with your surgery you were telling us about. Yeah. We'll have you calling
Where's
to give us updates.
Present?
I was just going to say, you know, we need to do your birthday present dinner because I will have to work later. I can't do it today, but we need to do a birthday dinner out there. And so anyway, this week, a lot in October. I'm doing a lot of Halloween Horror Nights, a lot of going around, a lot of traveling. So if you are going to be at Epcot this weekend, I know it's Blaze Adonis's 35th birthday. We're going to go out there and drink around the world. And then also probably going to be at Halloween Horror Nights several nights this week, and also having pregame at my house, downtown Orlando, the day of Orlando Pride. So if you're not, you know, like really sketch and you want to come join us or at least meet us down by there, it would be a good opportunity to come have some fun with us. That's it for today's edition of Outlet Orlando. Homo happy hour. Always remember, we are one human family, sometimes dysfunctional, but still a family. So until next time, always swing first, fight good fights, and let justice roll. Until next time, I wish you enough.
Gay radio show. We're urban. We're fun. We're for everyone.
Thank you very much. I'm Justice, and I love you. And there's nothing you can do about it.
Bye.
You are gay.
I'm ruined on the air. I'm ruined in this.
How are you ruined on the air? How are you ruined on the air?
You made me look like an idiot.
What goes in and out of my mouth is my own responsibility, and I do who I please, and I please who I do. Okay? Okay.
Gorgeous.
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 And fabulous.
Give that 1, 2, 3.
Gorgeous!
This is fabulous. I absolutely love it.
Didn't go to sleep, went to court, and now I'm very, very legal.
Yay!
That was the gayest arms I've ever seen to express that.
Now I'm very, very legal.
Jeff. It's a talking entertainment show. I host it. I wanted to be entertaining to all people, gay, straight, young, old. I happen to be gay. You know, I don't want to do a radio show where it's us versus them mentality. We're one human family.
And the more you tout yourself around town as the happy homo, I mean, that's just great. That's f***ing great. I hate the word homo. I can't stand it. If someone calls someone gay, it's one thing. I hate it, I hate it, I hate it. I hate that show. I hate everything about it.
Can you get over the friggin' name of the pig and pat me in the back for matching the funds?
No. Because
we're matching the funds.
No.
It's Out Loud Orlando, the Homo Happy
Hour.
Why? Raising money for a good cause.
Because
get over it.
You
it's
cannot.
It's such a good idea.
No, no, it's not.
It.
No, it's not.
You're
you know why?
You're passionate about it.
Do you know why?
You're passionate about AIDS education because you hate AIDS pig. You would buy a shirt that says I hate the AIDS pig.
No.
Yes, you would.
Goddess warrior princess Xena style.
It's
It's all
food. Outlet Orlando, ruining lives all across America.
On a daily basis.
Got any poppers?
No. I'm not saying that.
I'm like lobbing up beach balls for you to like come back with, you know, your sniper rifle of ha-ha.
Dating the same guy.
Oh, that just came
Wait,
out.
Wait, what?
Around you, everything the light touches is gay.
Out Loud Orlando, the homo happy hour.
course.